The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat in a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. The symphony of our lives is composed of telephones, doorbells, dishwashers, lawnmowers, laundry buzzers, car horns. And if you have children, you add DVDs, Wii games, music streaming. They beep, bleep, buzz, bang, boom, sometimes all at the same time, until we think that we're going to go mad. Let's face it, most of our homes are not quiet. The volume seems to be set at 10 from dawn to well after dusk. We've come to expect whirring gadgets, pulsating CD players, babbling TVs, ringing cell phones, and bleeping computers or tablets. Most of us who have jobs that are loud. For all the noise where some of us work, we might as well be jackhammer operators or the drummer for Aerosmith. In The Grinch That Stole Christmas, Dr. Seuss spoke for a lot of us when he wrote, "And then, oh the noise, oh the noise, 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 noise." There's one thing he hated, the noise, 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 noise. The sheer volume of noise, noise, noise does more to us than we realize. Noise keeps us focused on the superficial and unimportant. We try to convince ourselves that silence is just around the corner. When I get through school, then things will slow down. When I get married, then I'll calm down. When the children go to middle school, maybe then life will ease up. When I retire, every day will be a vacation. Silence is no longer a part of our everyday lives. In fact, most of us have a hard time being quiet. You come to the end of a long day, the dishes are done, you're by yourself. It's a perfect time to be silent, to meditate on the day's events. And what do we usually do? We turn on the TV, stream or put on a movie, go to Facebook or listen to our iPod or iPad. Lucy is playing in the outfield when a hit comes her way and the ball drops beside her, but Lucy, as always, doesn't move to catch it. Charlie Brown rushes out angrily to ask her why she didn't catch that ball. He points out that she didn't even have to take a step. All she needed to do was to hold out her glove. And Lucy simply answers, "I was having my quiet time." I commend those of you who have made this weekly service a priority in your lives. As you regulars can guess, it is not at the top of my list. Not only am I often just getting home from a long day at this time, but I must admit, as I shared earlier, the silence of these few moments is an extreme struggle for me. Silence is an option that we usually ignore. We fill our days with activity. We idolize those rustic settings, but when we finally get to that cabin in the woods, We're tempted to take our radios, our TVs, our cell phones, our PlayStations, so that if the silence gets to be too much, we can get out of the silence. We bring all the conveniences and noises of home, except now we have a campfire going, and the children are roasting marshmallows for their evening snack while they listen to their cell phones. Maybe we've confused silence with loneliness and have ended up leery of one of God's best gifts. Silence is meant to help us lie beneath the noise. Without solitude, it's virtually impossible to lead a life of faith, because silence is more than the absence of noise. Silence can be an act of listening to God. Genuine solitude is an instrument by which God leads. It may be difficult for us to learn how to turn down the volume, but we're capable of experiencing the holy silence that sustains and refreshes. Jesus was a mystic who understood the need for silence. In our verses for this evening, the disciples have returned from a mission trip. They're tired and they're hungry, but they excitedly tell Jesus about everything that they've done. Jesus can see they're exhausted, so he tells them to find a quiet place to rest for a while. So as they often do, they take a boat ride, but the crowds on the shore don't think about how tired Jesus and his disciples are. These people guess where Jesus is headed, and they get there first. You and I would have been annoyed, but Jesus feels compassion for them. He recognizes that though they aren't particularly sensitive, their enthusiasm is genuine. On this occasion, Jesus is unsuccessful in finding a quiet place, but his word to the disciples remains a good word to them and to us. Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. Jesus frequently left the crowds to be by himself. He spent 40 days in the wilderness at the beginning of his ministry. He stayed up all night before he chose the 12 disciples. Before the cross, he went to Gethsemane. The disciples often woke up to find that Jesus was gone. Early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus went for walks. He found his way to wilderness, mountaintops, gardens. Throughout Christian history, the mystics have taken Jesus' example seriously. They have recognized that worship should not be completely filled with words, for God speaks to us in the quiet. I remember during a sermon series on prayer, I introduced silence and said that we would be trying to lengthen our period of silence during prayer time. After several weeks, we were up to about a minute. And that doesn't seem like very long, but try being quiet for just a minute. And it seems forever. Seems forever. And after church, one of the leaders of the church, who happened to be one of the younger adults, approached me to make a comment and a suggestion about our prayer time. I braced myself, expecting some comment about how uncomfortable this lengthened period of silence was. What I was unprepared for was, I wish it were longer. I just begin to focus, and then it's time to move on. Of course, he was right. Why don't we take time for silence? Why don't I take time for silence? We have decisions to make that should lead us to the quiet places. What school to attend? Should I get married? Career goals, plans, friendship and relationship issues. How should I live out my faith? Sometimes it is only in the silence that we remember that we have a faith to live. Most of our clearest thinking happens in silence. And unfortunately, many of our worst decisions take place in the middle of the noise. But for us to experience silence, we will have to pursue silence. It's unlikely that anyone is going to tell you when it's time to turn down that volume. We need to take advantage of the quiet moments in our day, the minutes before everyone else awakens, the cup of coffee at breakfast, the walks from your car to work. We need to slip outside just before bedtime and listen to the quiet. In theory, we know that silence yields insights, dreams, possibilities. I know I need to build more silence and quiet time into my daily schedule. I think we can all agree about that. But in practice, we find ourselves filling our lives with noise. Right now, in this sacred moment, let us turn away from the noise and listen to God's wondrous silence. We might be surprised at what we hear. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious and loving God, as we return to the world, as we leave this silence, remind us that indeed you are with us, but most of all, help us to take time to go to that quiet place and to seek your love and your guidance, and to be reminded once again that we are yours and you are ours. In his name we pray. Amen.